Yeah, as was mentioned, and thank you, Jonathan, for the sermonette today. You know, we just observed the Passover on Thursday night. And I hope it was meaningful, as meaningful for you as it was for us. Then last night, as Dr. Ross mentioned, we got to celebrate the night to be observed, remembered, or whatever we used to call it or call it now. The joy of coming out of Egypt, out of this world, and into a new world, into a better world, into a better way of life. You know, we've spent time the last several weeks, at least I hope we have, examining ourselves, looking back at who we were, who we are, and hopefully who we want to become. You know, if you go through these days of unleavened bread, where's our focus? Where should our minds be? Are we continuing to look back, or are we looking forward? You know, if we've repented, God's forgiven us. He has made us new. We have a brand new clean slate as our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even our Father did that. What a great way to start the year, every year. You know, as many of you know, I grew up in the church, this church, the church, one of the churches of God. You know, I've celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 50 plus years. That's almost a whole year with one about, you know, going without bread, if you add them all up. It's a long time. You know, each year the Days of Unleavened Bread, they came and they went. You know, last week I had the opportunity to do a teen Bible study, and I was telling the young people that when I was a teenager, a young person, a young adult, I observed the Days of Unleavened Bread, but I can't say that I really kept the Days of Unleavened Bread. I just did it. I was there, but not really there. Remember the message Dr. Ross gave before the feast last year about really being there for the Feast of Tabernacles? I observed those feasts. I grew up with them. I did every year. But I don't know if I was really there and did them the way I should have. You know, the big focus for me, again, as a young person, was cleaning the house or watching my mother clean the house, and I cleaned my room. And it was not eating pizza, not eating bread for a week. The spring holy days, for me, and like I mentioned with the teen Bible study, it was more of a trailer for the Feast of Tabernacles. Coming events. Because as a young person, I love spring because spring meant school's almost out. And it was an awesome time. And I think somebody mentioned that in the Bible study last week because of the summer camps and things. So that's a good thing to think about. And after the spring holy days, summer came. Then around the corner was, to me, and I'm trying to be honest. The big holy day was the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what it was all about for as a young person. That was it. I wanted the Feast of Tabernacles. The spring holy days were, let's get through them. Let's move through them. Let's not eat bread for a week. And then we got the big one coming up. Of course, this was my thoughts as a young person of 42. No, a lot younger than that. But as I get older, a young person of 42 does seem young. Anyway, the spring holy days are so much more than just a time to get through. There's so much more than just the trailer for the fall holy days. Turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 8. I usually have my scriptures all printed out, and I kind of got a habit of doing that. And during Passover, I couldn't find 1 Peter for the life of me. But anyway, Leviticus 23, verse 1 to 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You should do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. It's interesting, when God's talking about his feast days, the first feast day he mentions is the holy Sabbath that we keep every week. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have it. You shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering, which we just did, made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day should be a holy convocation. You should do no customary work on it. You know, the days of unleavened bread, they have not just one, but we have two high holy days during the days of unleavened bread. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? We have a first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day, and we have the last day of unleavened bread, which is a high day. No other holy days have that. The Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days long, and the first day is a high day, but the last day is the seventh day. It is not a high day. I would think there's something very important about these days, something I think I missed growing up. The Feast of Tabernacles, as we know, was a full 7 days, and of course it pictures the future millennium, a time of great joy and the onset of God's kingdom. The days of unleavened bread are also 7 days. You know, years ago, this is before I had a memory, which my wife would say was last Tuesday, but before I had a memory, my family used to go, we lived in northern Indiana, we would go to Chicago for 7 days for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'd stay at hotels, it'd be like the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, I don't remember it, but it had to be expensive. I mean, to have that and then 6 months later do the Feast of Tabernacles. But we did that, we kept the whole 7 days. The church realized that that was not necessary anymore. But God gave this holy day, the Days of Unleavened Bread, and bookend them with two high holy days. It's like God is trying to tell us something, trying to show us. You know, on Thursday, those who kept the Passover heard many, many scriptures about what that time means for us today. Again, we examined ourselves, we saw ourselves, sins that we needed to work on and that we needed to overcome, some that keep popping up in our lives. We worked on them. We asked for forgiveness. We came to the Passover. We drank the wine, cleansing, the wine of forgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry. We drank the wine, partaking in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, and we're forgiven. We're cleansed. Before that, though, we took a piece of unleavened bread, and we ate that piece of unleavened bread, committing ourselves to the body of Jesus Christ, reaffirming our commitment to the church, the body of Christ. We read in Luke 22, 14, 15. Let's go there, please. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 14. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Then we read verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We took part of that bread as it was commanded from Jesus Christ to do in remembrance of him. We then read, if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. verse 16. This is where Paul reaffirms that what Jesus did on the night of Passover. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. We all partook of that bread on Thursday night. We got rid of the leavened bread prior to yesterday evening. We pulled it out of our homes. We were symbolically removing sin out of our homes, out of our hearts. We can read what leaven represents in 1 Corinthians 5, back a few pages. 1 Corinthians 5, we're going to break into verse 6. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that unleavened bread that we partook of, that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, is the unleavened bread that represents Jesus Christ. We're to be putting Him. We're to be taking and imbibing Him into our lives, ingesting Him into our life. Turn with me to Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14, verse 13. Matthew verse 14, we're going to read down to 21. And this is, Dr. Ross was talking about this today during the offertory. When Jesus heard it, about the death of John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. There were a lot of people there. A lot of people that were being fed. Now, if you will, let's go to John 6:22. John 6:22. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, the disciples, Jesus wanted to be alone. The disciples had taken the boat to the other side of the sea, to Capernaum. Jesus followed later, walking on the water. John 6:22. We're going to read down to verse 26. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here? Jesus said to them, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate one of the loaves and were filled. Jesus said, you saw me yesterday. You're here today because you want free food. You want a meal. You know, it said that he had healed all those people. They didn't say, hey, come on and heal. They wanted free food. Verse 27. Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They then said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, you can't handle it. No, he didn't say that. But he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's go down to verse 47. Jesus again, most assuredly I say to you, again, he who believes in me, he has everlasting life. I am, again, Jesus is stating who he was, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled about themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus was offering them the true bread, himself, the bread of life. The manna was physical, and everyone who ate that manna is now dead. They're dead. They're gone. But when we take and eat the body of Christ, when we take him in and we abide in him, and he abides in us, we are offered eternal life. Eternal life. You know, at Passover, we ate the bread of sincerity and truth. The bread that represented the body of Jesus Christ. We drank the wine that symbolized his shed blood. Let's read verses 53 and 54 again. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's incredible what God is offering us. It's incredible when we take the Passover and we celebrate these days of unleavened bread, what God is giving us. This is what we did on Thursday night, and we are to continue to do during these days of unleavened bread and the rest of our life. God has given us these days of unleavened bread to remember the words of Jesus Christ, to understand that He is the bread of life. And we are to partake of that bread every day. When we're eating our unleavened bread this week, we need to remember why we celebrate these days. We have removed, and we are continually removing sin from our lives. We focus on the future. We focus on Jesus Christ living His life in us. We focus on growing. You know, just this week, next week, at the last day of unleavened bread, there'll be stories of people slipping up with somebody ate a donut, somebody had a peanut butter sandwich, whatever, somebody ate a pancake, whatever it was, a pastry. Somebody will slip up. A lot of us will slip up. But you know what? We move on. We don't keep eating the donuts. We don't bring up, you know, a dozen donuts into the house. We throw it away. We move on. More importantly, this week, some of us will slip up and we'll sin. A sin that we're trying to overcome. That sin will rear its ugly head and we can get discouraged. The Apostle Paul, if you'll turn with me to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 21. In Romans 7, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the Lord of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We try, we work on it, and sometimes we slip up, like Paul did. But we know, as he did, that he has help. We can eat that bread of life. We can take that bread of life. We can partake in the body of Jesus Christ, because he is our hope. During these days of unleavened bread, we have an opportunity every day, whether you like butter or not, but every day we can take that matzo, that Triscuit, whatever you have, and you can think about imbibing, taking part of the body of Jesus Christ. We can think about his words in John. We can think about what he did during the Passover service. We can remember that he is the true bread of life. God has given us 7 days. 7 days to remember, to think about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. To think about Jesus Christ himself being the bread of life. He is the way to eternal life. Turn with me to John 14. And I know we read this on Passover. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth. Remember, We are to be keeping the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As we eat this unleavened bread, we partake of his body, we abide in him, he abides in us, he lives in us. John 5. I think I'm at John 15. I'm just going to read it. I'm not sure where it is. It's somewhere in John. I know it's in there. Anyway, it's there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As we abide in Jesus Christ, as he abides with us, we are connected to the Father and the Father is glorified. We are nothing. As Jesus said, we are nothing without Jesus Christ abiding in us. But with Jesus Christ abiding in us, as verse 7 reads, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That is an awesome statement. Ask, and it shall be done for you. How wonderful is that? These days of unleavened bread are so important. They have a somber meaning, as they represent, and we think about the death of Jesus Christ, and we realize it was us. It was our sins that he died for. He suffered and died so that we could have life, so that our sins could be forgiven. They also have such a glorious and exciting meaning as well. We have been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We have a new life, a new hope, a new beginning. We partake of the very bread of life in Jesus Christ. For 7 days we focus on abiding with Jesus Christ, the true bread, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We get up every day. We can get up every day the next 7 days and partake of that bread. We ask Jesus Christ to live in us, with us, abide with us. We can become like the Apostle Paul when he said, and I'll just read Galatians 2:20. The strong memory verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a beautiful statement when we read that. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can we honestly say that, believe that, and feel that? Because that's what these days are all about. Abiding with Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Please. Matthew 6, verse 9. This, Jesus is instructing his disciples how to pray. In verse 6, or verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I try to use this model prayer when I pray. And for years, I just, give us this day our daily bread. Kind of move on, or asking God to take care of us, our physical needs every day, which we ask Him to do. We want, you know, He wants to do that. But I also think it probably has more meaning than that. Give us this day our daily bread. Who is the bread? The bread is Jesus Christ. Asking God every day to give us His Son, as He's already done. But help us to abide in that bread. Help us to become a part of that bread. Help that bread to become a part of us every day. Especially during these days of unleavened bread, as there's such a focus on bread and unleavened bread, and Jesus Christ being bread. We want Jesus Christ to live in us every day. And there's something to think about every day during these days of unleavened bread. Jesus Christ living again His life in us. He is the true bread. You know, Jesus, we are to ask God the Father to give Him to us to live in us so that we can abide with Him and abide with the Father. Jesus prayed this to His Father. Again, we read this on Passover. John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus is praying for us right now. He's praying for His church throughout time. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Our goal is to become one with God the Father and Jesus Christ. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed before His crucifixion. God has given us, you and me, He's given the whole world these holy days. They just don't understand and know it yet. But we have an understanding. He has given these holy days to us to learn about Him, to learn about His great plan, to learn about the future that He is going to someday allow this whole world to know His way of life. These 7 days of unleavened bread are a very important part of that plan. We have 7 days to move on from our past, to move on from sin. We have 7 days to move forward. We got rid of, and we have 7 days now to think about getting rid of that old leaven. That old leaven of malice and wickedness. And eat that unleavened bread. That unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We have 7 days to partake of the body of Jesus Christ. The true bread of life. We live in Him. He lives in us. Let's use these days to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to the Father in heaven. Have a wonderful and meaningful day of unleavened bread.